Ugh, you or your partner has erectile dysfunction and you really don't know what to do to treat it. That's what we're going to talk about today in my limited series about erectile dysfunction. Welcome to the Great Sex Podcast. I'm Dr. Heather England, a certified sex therapist and relationship expert. Join me for candid conversations that address what you truly want to know and answer your burning questions. I want to empower you to ignite your intimacy and strengthen your relationships. I haven't created any podcast episodes in a very long time. To be honest, I got so burned out and I had so many other things demanding my time. Plus, I was going through this big process of renaming the podcast and I finally gave up on renaming it. I was shifting my clinical practice into supporting those in midlife as they work through all of the midlife challenges and crises. And I'm currently writing a book about midlife, and I also write on Substack. I'd love for you to subscribe to me on Substack if you want to learn more about creating the best midlife and beyond. The link is in the show notes and the show description. I write about everything from intimacy to relationships, having purpose and meaning, becoming an empty nester, retiring, friendships, overall health, menopause, and learning to love yourself and stop caring about what others think of you. I absolutely am passionate about all of those topics, which is why the name The Great Sex Podcast became so limiting for me. I'm also writing a book about erectile dysfunction because that's a subject I have been very passionate about for a long time. So I thought it would be a good idea to share some of my content with everyone because at my core, I just love teaching and I want to help as many people as possible, especially through erectile dysfunction. I have an online on-demand workshop on mastering performance anxiety related to ED, since it's a top psychological contributor to ED, and it's also something most people have to deal with, even if they have a medical cause for their ED. Plus, I'm teaching a virtual live workshop geared towards partners of those with ED, because I think they also need tools and resources to help them to manage this and navigate it in their relationship. You can find the links to those in the show notes. Some of you may have just started having some ED, and some of you may have had it for a long time. Regardless, it's tough on you and on your partner and on your relationship. This is the second episode in my limited series all about erectile dysfunction. In today's episode, I want to talk about the impact of ED on your relationship. This episode is for anyone living inside the silence of ED, whether you're the one experiencing it or the one lying 6 inches away wondering what happened. ED isn't just a bedroom problem. It's a relationship crisis kind of hiding in plain sight. And I'm going to tell you something about myself and my relationship that I don't talk about lightly. My husband and I have lived with ED for a long time. And yes, he has permitted me to talk about this because he's worked through all of that male shame this diagnosis carries. He's the absolute best, and I'm so grateful for him. ED has not always been easy for either of us. We've had nights of disappointment. We've had conversations that felt impossible to start. We've learned workarounds. I'm a therapist who specializes in helping couples navigate ED. In fact, my PhD dissertation was on erectile dysfunction, but I want you to know I'm not just sitting in a comfortable chair offering clinical wisdom from a safe distance. I've been living with this thing too, but I'm truly fortunate because my training helped us to navigate ED and build an even closer, more vibrant, and more honest, intimate life with one another. So I know what's possible. Here's what I know to be true. ED is one of the most common issues affecting couples in midlife, and almost nobody talks about it. Not at dinner parties, not with close friends, not even sometimes with a doctor. Those with ED often feel such shame, and our society puts such pressure on men by cultivating an image of what a real man is. And a real man in our society wouldn't sit in a bar with friends and say, "Hey guys, I have a difficult time getting hard. What about you?" We know that wouldn't happen. Even women, as much as we share so much with one another, we're really unlikely to bring this up with girlfriends. It's like there's an unspoken pact of secrecy around this subject. And that silence, it does a lot of damage, not because ED itself has to be a relationship ender, but because the stories we make up in the absence of real conversation can be. On top of that, people make insensitive jokes about ED all the time, and they serve to reinforce this toxic male stereotype, and they make addressing this very common issue even more difficult. The numbers of people living with ED are staggering. Approximately 30 million men in the United States experience ED, and 326 million men worldwide. Let that sink in. That's a lot of people. By age 40, around 40% of men have experienced some degree of ED. By age 70, that number climbs to roughly 70%. And those are just the men willing to report it. ED can be caused by physical factors, cardiovascular disease, diabetes, high blood pressure, hormonal changes, the natural effects of aging on vascular and neurological function, and things like prostate cancer. It can also be driven or worsened by psychological factors like anxiety, depression, stress, performance pressure, and relationship tension. Often it's both, layered together in ways that are genuinely complicated to untangle. And this isn't a rare problem. This is a midlife reality that millions of couples are navigating in complete isolation, each one assuming they're the only ones, but they're not. Here's the part that doesn't get talked about enough. When a man begins experiencing ED, something else often happens alongside of it. He starts pulling away, not just from sex, but also from any kind of physical touch and closeness. He stops doing things like putting his hand on your lower back, lazy Sunday morning cuddles, kisses that linger a little longer than a goodbye peck. He stops doing anything that may have led to something more in the past, romantic date nights, and sometimes even going to bed at the same time. He pulls away because touch has become loaded and because physical closeness now carries this weight of potential failure. It's easier to avoid all of it than to risk disappointing you and feeling like he failed. He may not even realize he's doing it, but you, as his partner, feel it, and it really hurts. You reach for him, and something in him goes a little bit stiff, not in the way you want, but in a way that means not right now, not tonight, please don't. And over time, you just stop reaching, because rejection, even if it's unintentional rejection, has this cumulative effect on a person's willingness to be vulnerable. And this is how ED quietly poisons a relationship, not in one dramatic moment, in a thousand small ones. And in the absence of openly and honestly talking about it, partners will fill in the blanks. They'll tell themselves things like, well, he doesn't find me attractive anymore. He's not interested in me. Something's wrong with me. This is just what happens when love fades. I need to lose weight. I'm not sexy enough. I'm not pretty enough. All those kinds of things. But none of those stories are likely to be true. But they feel true. And they shape how you behave. You pull back too. You stop initiating. You stop flirting. You dress for comfort instead of for him. You tell yourself you're being respectful of his struggle when you're really protecting yourself from feeling unwanted. And now two people who love each other are sleeping in the same bed, 6 inches apart, each one silently convinced the other's checked out of intimacy. You become roommates, not lovers. That's the real crisis, not the ED itself. The problem is the isolation and the loneliness it creates and the feelings of not being desired by your partner. I want to be really careful here not to make this sound simpler than it is. My husband and I have had really hard conversations, awkward ones, conversations that didn't go well the first time and required a second attempt. We've had to grieve some things and creatively reimagined other parts of our intimacy. we've had to get curious about intimacy in ways that felt unfamiliar and sometimes a bit uncomfortable. It hasn't always been easy for either of us, but I can honestly say we're closer for it, not despite navigating this, but genuinely because of it, because we chose to talk rather than be silent about it. We chose to be curious rather than avoiding intimacy. Each of us decided to work through our own private shame about all of this. I won't sugarcoat it. If I could rewrite our story, ED would definitely not be part of it. But it is part of it. It's part of our lives. And the most important thing has been how we dealt with it. Yet even with all my training, it was really challenging. My partner and I had to work really hard on intimacy. There's no automatic fix for ED, despite what the pharmaceutical companies promise you about that little blue pill, which, by the way, does not work for about 30% of those people that take it, and it carries a lot of unwelcome side effects, but they don't tell you in the advertisements. Navigating ED takes intention, it takes tools, and usually it takes some outside support from a sex therapist. Now let's talk about what couples who navigate this together have in common. First, they talk about it, not once, not in one single painful conversation, but as an ongoing dialogue that becomes less stressful the more they do it. They separate ED from desirability. So each partner feels they are desired. They work hard to disentangle the mechanics of ED from the question of attraction, of love, and their wanting for one another. They expand their definition of intimacy. Sex isn't one thing. It's not penetrative intercourse. Physical closeness isn't one thing. Couples who navigate ED well tend to become genuinely more creative about intimacy and more connected in how they experience each other physically. They get support from a sex therapist or a workshop or a community of people who actually understand what this is like. Because trying to figure this out in a vacuum without any roadmap is unnecessarily hard, and it often ends in people shutting down intimacy and becoming roommates. For the women that are listening to this right now, I want you to know I see you. Yes, I see you, and I get you. You're probably the one who found this podcast. You're probably the one who's been quietly carrying the weight of this, wondering how to bring it up, afraid to hurt his feelings, worried about his ego, second-guessing your own feelings, trying to be understanding while also being human enough to feel the loss of something you didn't expect to lose. Your feelings about this are valid. Your grief, frustration, your longing, your confusion, your feelings of inadequacy that somehow you weren't sexy enough for him to get hard, all of it. And you deserve support that's specifically for you, not just for the couple, not just for him, but also for you. That's why I decided to host my virtual workshop called When Intimacy is Complicated by ED. And I designed it specifically for women who are partners of people with ED. We're going to talk honestly about the emotional impact, the relational patterns, how to have the conversations that feel impossible, and how to begin rebuilding intimacy in ways that actually work. I built this workshop because I know this territory from both sides of the room, and because you shouldn't have to figure this out alone. The link to it is in the show notes. And if you're a penis owner listening and you're dealing with ED and looking for somewhere to start right now, I recommend my pre-recorded training called Mastering Performance Anxiety. It tackles one of the biggest contributors to ED across the board, performance anxiety. It's self-paced, it's practical, and you can access it anytime. As we wrap up, there's a version of ED that ends in disconnection, hurt, and quiet resignation of roommate status. I've seen it walk into my therapy office more times than I can count. But there's another version, one where the thing that felt like it was just breaking you open actually cracks open something more honest, more tender, and more real than what you had before. That version is possible. I know because I'm living it. Thanks so much for listening to today's podcast episode on this very sensitive topic. I hope it truly helped those of you that needed to hear this content. You are so very appreciated. Thanks. Take care.